stayed and remained for this second part of the service. So hear what we have to say. So appreciative of Brother Frazier that already went before us and did a masterful job of speaking to us about the greatest gift. Talk to us about that greatest gift. And the thing about it, I know Brother Frazier, I know he had a lot more that he had, like sometimes, as Paul said, sometimes there's a lot more I want to share with you, but I can't tell you all right now. You're not able to, in Paul's case, Paul was saying it because they couldn't bear it. There were some things he couldn't tell them because they couldn't bear it. Brother Frazier couldn't tell us some stuff because he just didn't have time to tell us. But that just means we look forward to seeing him again, and then he can share with us again some of those unsearchable riches. But we appreciate what you did tell us, and you gave us enough. We can go back, and we've recorded it. We can go back and listen to it, talking about that greatest gift, and then talk about the mind and the body and the spirit. And I was enjoying that conversation that you was having with us and taking us through the scriptures. And I know there was a lot more you could have told us there, but what you did, you told us enough to excite us and wet our whistles. And we hopefully will go back as Bible students and study those things that you shared with us. So we thank you very much, Brother Frazier, for coming our way today. Just briefly this afternoon, our purpose this afternoon is to, we're going to say a few words to you very briefly, and then we want to dismiss, and so that we can have some time. We want to talk to the elders. We want to talk with our brethren that are here just briefly in advance of having our congregational meeting next week. So we want to talk to the brothers. I think the sisters are going to get together in the annex and talk about some things, and then the brothers will talk some things for about 20, 30 minutes, and then we can all go home and proper feed up and light the fire, Sister Karen, and get some good warm food and some tea or whatever, and just enjoy the festivities of this time of year. Very briefly, turn over to Mark chapter 11, looking at verse 12. Mark chapter 11. We want to read this text, and there's a couple words I want to throw out to you from Mark chapter 11 that I want you to think about as we're coming up to the end of the year and the close of the year. Not only looking at, as we take, you know, this time of year, we always are doing retrospects. As Brother Montreal said, you know, the news and all the stories are always retrospect, looking back, what happened this year, the year in review. So we always, as Christians, we use this time of year to retrospect, to look back and try to focus ourselves for next year. So there's a couple words I want us to think about as we after we read this text. So we're looking at Mark chapter 11 and beginning with verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were coming from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus says, Is it not written? All right, and he makes that quote. My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when it was even, when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering him and saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. We looked at this text here, and the two words I want to throw at you this afternoon is the words survive and thrive. Survive and thrive. Now, looking at the word survive or being in survival mode, that is not a, that's a good thing, because within our, in our bodies, we have mechanisms, we have systems in our bodies that, that keep us what we call in science at homeostatic level, at a homeostasis, keep us in a certain tolerance. Your blood's supposed to be, pressure's supposed to be at a certain point. Your body temperature is supposed to be at a certain point. And when you get into cold weather, your body naturally goes into a mode that will help to protect it so it will not, so that the inner core will not be too chilled. Or when you get into hot weather, your body will let off and perspire. It's all to try to keep that inner body in a certain regulation, a regulatory standard, so that you can survive. During times when we don't eat and when we fast for long periods of time, our bodies are able to use the fat that we have stored up and consume that so that it can keep the body alive and it can keep us in survival mode. We as humans have a survival instinct. We read, how many times have you read about people that have, you know, had an accident and been trapped out in the woods somewhere, or little kids that have been lost and we come back and find them days later and they have somehow been able to survive? Well, that's an instinct that God built within us to be able to survive and to go into survival mode. So in that sense, survival mode is a good thing. But then on another sense, survival and just surviving can have a negative connotation, Brother Darvin. When you're talking business, if your business is just surviving, that's not a good thing. You just surviving. The survival mode in business or in other activities of life, survival is not a good thing, because that means you're not moving ahead. And so in business and the other senses, we don't want to survive. We want to thrive. We want to grow. We want to move forward. So in that sense, survival is not a good thing. If you just surviving, hanging around, and we know that in these days and times, if you surviving, that it won't be too long before you'll be closing your doors. You'll be on the list of those companies that used to be around. In fact, every at the end of the year, I was just looking at the year, of all the companies that are out or on the way out, there's several companies that filed bankruptcy, filing bankruptcy, not doing too good. And they, you know, there's big question marks. Will those companies be around? Some of these companies been around for hundreds of years, started back in the 1800s. Sears, some of these big names that you know are in trouble because they're just surviving. They're not thriving. And so I look at that, and I want us to look at ourselves personally, and I want us to look at our church and determine whether we're just going to be survivors or we're going to be thriving in the coming year. Now, going back to what Jesus said, Jesus is coming out, and this is on his final week before his entry into Jerusalem, and he comes out, and he sees a fig tree. He's staying in Bethany, which is about not too far from Jerusalem. In fact, in Bethany, Jerusalem, you can look down and see Bethany. And so he went to, you know, he went to Bethany and to spend time at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so he would stay there and then come back into Jerusalem. So he's on his way back into Jerusalem. He saw a fig tree, in afar and having leaves on it. Now let me tell you something. The fig is a significant. It's an old fruit. It's an old historic fruit. It's very nourishing. You can look it up scientifically. It has a lot of fiber and good things for us physically. It's an ancient fruit. The fig tree in Scripture is used as a symbol of Israel. And especially here in this text, as he will go in there and cleanse the temple, that fig tree is a symbol of Israel and Israel's decline. But I want us to look at here, Jesus seeing the fig tree, and he goes over there and says, happily, if he might find anything thereon to eat. Now, why would Jesus look to that fig tree to find something to eat? There was something would have to be a sign that there would that there'd be a reason for Jesus to expect to go over to that tree and find something to eat. And so the text says that there were leaves on the tree. Now, you have to understand figs. The fruit appears before the leaves come. And so the fruit is green and the leaves are green. And so from a distance, you see green on a fig tree. So you might suppose there's some fruit there. But when he got there, all he found was leaves. Now, the other thing about figs is their growing season. They can grow fig. You can have crops on a fig tree 3 or 4 times a year, depending on where you're located. Depends if you're in a good spot, you might have figs 10 out of 12 months of the year. But in the higher altitude around Jerusalem, you could expect maybe to have figs 3 or 4 different times a year. And so the text says, but it wasn't time of the fig season, but it just means they're just telling us that there was that at that particular time there was no figs growing. But Jesus would come to that tree expecting to see some because he saw leaves on the tree. But when he gets to the tree, he's disappointed because he was hungry. He got there, he saw the leaves on the tree, but he didn't find any fruit. So Jesus cursed the tree. Now, cursing is to pronounce judgment when we talk it biblically. We don't use it like we do today. We talk about cursing today, we're using profanity. But back in scriptures, when you pronounce a curse, that is to pronounce judgment. And so Jesus pronounced judgment on that tree. No one will eat for you forever. All right, and so that's on the day that he finds it. And so then he goes into the Jerusalem, and we read the narrative about him cleansing the temple, and that has a significance to what this object lesson that he's trying to teach his disciples, his apostles, that he's trying to teach them an object there with this tree. So then the next day after they're on their way back, they looked, and Peter brought back into remembrance what Jesus had said the day before. And just overnight, from the roots up, that tree has withered. Just at the master's word, when he said, don't let any fruit grow on this tree, they came back the next day from the roots up. That tree had withered. And so Peter was looking at that. And so I'm sure the disciples are all amazed. This just happened. I mean, that's not a normal phenomenon. It would take some time for that tree. Normally, when plants die, we start to see it in the leaves and the top. We start to see it die. And then eventually it dies down. But no, this we saw it from the roots up. That tree was withered because of what Jesus said to that tree. And so looking at this, we want to kind of lift out of this text here is that Jesus saw a tree, and he found a tree in survival mode. This tree was not thriving. From a distance, it looked good because he saw the leaves on the tree. And so he came to it. Okay, this should be some fruit. I should be able to get some nourishment. I should be able to get something to eat. But when he got to the tree, he was disappointed because it just had leaves. It didn't have any fruit. And so that tree was in survival mode, but wasn't in thriving mode. And so we look at us. I want you to look at us personally, look at ourselves, and look at our church. Are we a church that just has some leaves on it? We may look good from the outside. You come in, we have all the activities. We have a sound preacher. We have leadership, and we have all the trappings. We have, looks like things are going on. We seem to be pretty friendly, but that could just be leaves. Do we have some fruit underneath that? What are we really doing? Once you get past the leaves, once you get past the, okay, we've got sound preaching. Okay, we sing and we do all the acts of worship, you know, because, you know, Brother Frazier, as you know, there's some of ours that have the name out on the building, but they're not doing the stuff inside. And so when people come to Newport News, they'll see that we're doing all those things that the body of Christ should be doing. We're preaching the doctrine. We're sticking within the doctrine. We're doing the things. But is that just leaves? Underneath, are we reaching out to men and women and helping to change lives with the gospel and helping to teach? Are we out there really doing what we should doing? Are we loving each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Or is it just leaves? If Jesus were to come to us like that fig tree, would he see more than just leaves? Would he really see some fruit? Would he see some solid evidence that we are doing what we would have, what the Lord would have us to do? Or would he pronounce a curse on us? In your own personal lives, what is Jesus looking at? Do we have some leaves? Folks, I'm wearing leaves. These are leaves. Yeah, it's a nice looking suit. I can look the part, but what's going on? When you don't see me, am I the same person? Am I living the same life? Is my conversation that befitting the gospel? Or are we just leaves? Are we thriving or are we surviving? We can just be in survival mode, and when companies and businesses get in survival mode, they just hanging on. They just trying to do what they need to do to go from week to week. As a church, is that what we're doing? We just come here every week, and yeah, we go through the acts of service, we do everything, and then we go on to the next week. You know, are we just in survival mode? We're not really reaching out. You know, we're not really bringing too many people in. We might baptize one, but we lose four. We baptize two, but we lose three. That's survival mode. That's survival. We just surviving, because what we bring in, it goes right out the back door. Now, when we start to thrive, is we baptize, and we're going to go out and seek that which is lost and bring them back. And we're going to work to disciple those that are new and make sure they stay. So that when we look around next time, this time next year, those that we baptize, we can say, oh, there they are. No, they were baptized last year. They're still here. But we look around today, there's some that we baptized last year. Where are they at? Gone. Now, we just baptized some this week. We baptized three this week. We baptized one last Sunday. Brother Maxwell talked to Wednesday night. We just baptized them. Will they still be here next year? See, that answers the great question. Are we just going to survive? Will they be here? Or are we going to thrive and make sure that they're here and make sure that we've taught them and that we've established them, that we've rooted and grounded them? Brother Michael teaches his class Sunday morning, rooted and grounded. Are we going to root and ground them in the truth? And then are we going to get them that are rooted and grounded to go out and get some more and bring those in? See, that's when we start to thrive, when the ones we bring in, we keep them, and then we teach them, and then they go out and bring some other folks in. Then you start to thrive. Then we start to multiply. Then we start to grow. But if we're just in survival mode, we get a couple, we lose a couple. We get a couple, we lose a couple. Then we're just in survival mode. In our lives, are we just in survival mode? Are we just barely doing enough to be resembled and be called Christians? Are we just, we're coming to worship, but we're not doing much outside that? We come and we're participating, we're involved in activities, but outside that, are we really studying? Are we really trying to grow? Are we really trying to learn? Are we really trying to hone our lives down? Are we really doing the things like Paul? Paul said he's buffeted his body daily, that this was, it was a daily task for him just to live for Christ. You know, in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting everything else. I'm pressing forward every day toward the high calling and hard toward the mark of Jesus Christ. That's something every day. Paul, in Paul's terminology, Paul was like an Olympic athlete for the Lord. Now, do an Olympic athlete, do they just train when they get ready to? Now, the Winter Olympics are coming up. Do they just train? But, John, you can just train when you want. I know you used to train track folk. You can just run when you want to run. You can run today, but you don't have to run tomorrow. Yeah, you can eat right today, but you don't have to eat right tomorrow. It's every day. Every day, year round. It's Sunday? Okay, it's Sunday. It's weekend. We can take a weekend out. No. You got to get it in if you're going to stay in shape, because those athletes, those real in-depth athletes know that one day off, you gone. It set you weeks back in your training. One day off. You take a day off. You don't take a day. There's no days off. You have to train every day just to maintain your peak. You're not moving ahead, Brother John. You train every day. You just staying where you at. Then you've got to do some other things. You got to vary your training. You got to do some different things so that you can not only maintain but move ahead, to thrive and to move ahead. So you got it. So you find athletes, they keep changing their routine up, because we know those of you into the physical science of the physiology of training know that your body plateaus, Brother Mahone. You get to a certain level and you're not doing anymore. You're not making a dent, because your body says, okay, we can do this level. And you keep doing that level, you will maintain, but you won't move ahead. So now you got to go and throw the body into something else that it wasn't used to, so that you can get some gains. And so we have to do that spiritually. We're just doing enough just to make it at this level. But are we kicking it in gear? Say, okay, next year I got to go to another level of my study. Okay, next year I got to go to another level in my personal study and my personal spiritual fitness. I got to go to another level. I got to do something different. You know, I can't just do what I've been doing, because if I just do what I've been doing, I'm going to be where I've always been. And that may not be enough. As you look at this world, you look at what's going on, where you at and what you doing, may not be enough. Brother Victor just talked to us today about how the devil, you know, see, the devil is working harder to get you than you working harder to stay spiritual. He's working harder to get you than you working harder to stay spiritual. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was trying to get, he had a bird feeder out in his yard on a pole, and there was this squirrel that just kept getting in there, getting to that bird feed. And so he was trying to find all kind of ways to get this thing, get it, kept going to the store, buying this, the hardware store salesman would sell him that, sell him this, sell him that. And so he was just getting frustrated, and finally he went back to the man at the store, and he said, you know, you think we could put a man on the moon, but we can't come up with something to keep that squirrel out of my bird feeder? And so the man at the hardware store said, he goes, how long have you been dealing with this problem? Oh, so long. He said, how many hours have you put into dealing with this problem, with this squirrel and his bird feeder? Oh, well, you know, so many hours here, you know. So he named off amount of hours. He said, you know what the difference is between you and that squirrel? He said, you put a certain amount of hours into solving that problem. He said, you know how many hours that squirrel has put into getting that food out of your bird feeder? He goes, no. He said, every waking moment. That's the difference. The squirrel is put every moment he's awake, he's thinking about how he's going to get it. He said, you've just put some hours, you put some time into it. The squirrel's thinking about it every waking moment of his life, how to get in there. And said, that's why you can't stop him, because he's devoted every bit of his being into doing that. You devoted just some hours. Now, it's the same thing with us spiritually. You know, what are we devoting for the service of the dedication of our Lord? You can't do what you did in 2017. It may not be enough to deal with what the wiles and the schemes of the devil next year. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we got to gird ourselves up and that we got to be aware and the wiles of the schemes of the devil. Do you think this devil's going to come at you in 2018 with 2016 schemes? No, he's already passed 2016 schemes. The devil already hitting you with 2019, 2020 schemes. The devil is up there with Apple. Can you keep up with the iPhone? How many of you got the latest iPhone? How many got an iPhone 10? Raise your hand, you got a 10. Who got a 10? None of you got a 10. They always got 2 or 3 models ahead of you. You lucky if you got, who got an 8? Who has an iPhone 8? You got a 7, see? Most of us, we got a 7. We already 2 generations behind with Apple. We're 2 generations. We don't even have the latest and greatest because the 10 costs $1,000. 10 is about $1,000. So it'll be 3-4 years before we get 10. They'll be on 13-14 before we get 10. I'm being honest with you, because we can't keep up with how fast they're making stuff. We can't. You will go broke. You will lose all your money if you try to be on the leading edge of all the tech gadgets that they come out. You're going to lose all your money. And that's what they want to do. They make stuff. You got the latest car, you're going to pay for it. You can get the latest car. You can get a car every year, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. If you're that kind of person, you got to have the latest and greatest, because as soon as you drive off the lot with yours, they're already thinking about what they're going to put on the next one. And it's going to be better than the one you got, Brother Mahone. You got this camera? Oh, man, we got this camera coming on the next one. Because that's all they do. People do is sit and think up things to get more money out of your pocket. And to get you to buy stuff you don't really need. But they convince you you want it by showing you commercials. So the same thing with the devil. He's like Apple. He's not on 2019. The devil already on schemes for 2020. And when you get to 2020, he's going to be on 2025 with the schemes to hit you. And you still on your Bible thinking from 2008. You ain't changed your Bible. You ain't changed your matter of thinking. You ain't changed your pattern of study since 2008. Some of you ain't changed your pattern of study since you was baptized. And the devil already 10, 20 years ahead of you in the schemes that he going to hit you with. And your Bible study still back here. You surviving. You're not going to thrive. You're going to survive, maybe barely. And so as the scripture talked about being tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, that's how you get tossed to and fro. By being in survival mode, but not thriving, not moving ahead. Like Paul, he was big. He said, man, I'm moving forward. I'm pushing. I'm straining, trying to get to the mark. Paul wasn't trying to survive. Paul was trying to thrive. I'm trying to run it. Because Paul said, hey, and what he says in Timothy, he said, I fought the good fight. I run the race. I finished the course. Paul said, I'm putting everything into this. I'm all in. He got all his chips. If you're talking about Vegas, he got all his chips on the table. He's not holding anything back. He's put everything on Christ. He's put everything. He said, I've given up everything. I count everything as done
for the cause of Christ. I put it all in. I put it all on the line. I'm not saving some for the job. I'm not saving some for the kids. I put it all on Christ. I'm putting it all on the Lord. And I got everything in. I got everything vested in it. Because Paul said, I know in whom I believed in and persuaded that he is able to do that which he has delivered unto us. And unto that, unto him against that day. So Paul said, I know. And so I'm putting everything, I'm betting everything on Christ. Because I know Christ in the end is going to deliver. He's going to give me that crown of life that fadeth not away. So I'm putting everything on it. I'm not holding nothing back. I'm putting it all on Christ because Paul wanted to thrive. Paul just didn't want to survive. He just didn't want to do enough to make it. See, if you just do enough to thrive, then you're going to be like the church in Revelations where you're going to write and you're going to say, you lukewarm. You neither hot nor cold. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You just surviving. You lukewarm. You're not going backwards. You're not going forward. You're just in the middle. And so that's what we want to look at. We don't want to be like this fig tree where Jesus come, he's expecting to find something from the tree, and he gets disappointed. No fruit. I see leaves. Some of us, we're pretty. We got leaves, but we don't have no fruit. And with the fig tree, there could have been some fruit on there because the tree bears fruit several times. And he came and he found nothing in there. Very quickly, we go over to Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we find another example about the fig tree. In Luke chapter 13, Paul was talking about some situations, and Paul talking about those that asked him some questions about the Galileans and those that had suffered a great tragedy. And a couple times in Luke 13, the early part of that chapter, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then he launches into this parable after he says it again in chapter 5. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you all likewise perish. He spoke also a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came, he saw fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dug it, and if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Again, another example of a fig tree. The vineyard, the dresser of the person who owns the property comes, and he says, why isn't anything on this particular tree? It's taking up space. It's taking up ground. We could cut it down. I could plant another tree here that will bring some fruit. But then the dresser of the vineyard, the one that actually works, come out and pleads for it. No. Let me work with it another year. Let me dig around it. Let me put some manure and some fertilizer around it. Let me see if I can get it going. And then after this year, if it don't produce, then we'll cut it down. See, now, the owner is God. The one that comes and pleads, that's Jesus. The fig tree, that's you and me. See, God said, I'm ready to cut you down because I don't see nothing. I see some leaves, but I don't see no fruit. Well, you taking up ground. In my kingdom, you taking up ground, breathing air in God's kingdom. He want to cut us down. But Jesus said, no, Father, don't do it yet. Father, they've been through some stuff this year. Father, they had some tribulations. Father, the hurricane came through this year. Let them alone. Let me work with them this year. Then we'll see. So we look at this example here as we think about thriving and surviving. Is this your year? Do you got another year? Or is this the year that the axe is, as the scriptures say, the axe is at the root, and he's ready to cut us down? We don't know. Some of us went through some situations this year where we was close. We saw the axe. We was on the other side. But because the promise of God, he pulled us back from the other side. We was gone. We was on the table, but he brought us back. He didn't put the axe to us. Jesus said, let him alone this year. Let me work with him. Let me put something. So we got to look at, is this your year? Is this your year you're going to thrive and going to move forward and going to do some things to advance and to grow? Or are you just going to go through another year just surviving, just trying to do enough?
I'm telling you folks that we look at these two parables and God's economy surviving is not enough. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to grow. He don't want us to have leaf. He wants us to have fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. In the very beginning, as Brother Victor took us to the very beginning, in the very beginning, what was God's command? In the very beginning, he told Adam and Eve, do what? Be fruitful and multiply. We get into the New Testament. The New Testament writers are still telling us to be fruitful. Peter says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3. Paul tells us in Galatians that we need to add to ourselves these particular attributes so that we can show that we have the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, one manifestation of the Spirit, but it manifests itself in several different ways, through love and through other things. Peter talks about adding to ourselves these virtues. So again, Jesus in the garden said, be fruitful. The New Testament writers are saying, be fruitful. They're still saying, be fruitful, be fruitful. Bear fruit. Jesus came looking for fruit on physical trees, didn't find any. And he uses that as an issue with Israel. He came to Israel looking for fruit, didn't find any. John would write that in John chapter 1. He said he came unto his own, but his own didn't receive him. But as to many that received him, gave he them the power of the right or the authority to be sons of God. He's given us the authority and the right to be sons of God. Don't be like the Jews that didn't receive him. He came unto his own, but they didn't receive him not. He was the light. In John 1, John said that we came and we bear witness to that light, that Jesus Christ, he was manifest, and he came and he lived in the flesh, and we touched him, and that which we held, and which we manifest, according to the word of truth. He was that light. And he's still that light. And we want to come and we want to be in here. We want to thrive. We don't want to just survive. We want to thrive. We want to thrive. We want to grow. So in 2018, we want to grow. Our congregation, we want to thrive. So we want to look at doing things. If we're doing stuff that's survival, let's stop doing it. Let's do things that's going to survive. Hey, let's pick the better choice. Let's thrive. Let's not just survive. Because we know that just survival mode will eventually lead us to destruction. It's going to lead us to destruction. Because when the master comes back and he starts looking for fruit and he starts checking us for fruit, he's already checking us now. But he just hasn't put that permanent curse on us, that permanent judgment. But as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 9, that it's appointed that man wants to die. After that is the judgment, then that's when you're going to get that curse. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But he's already judging us now. He's already looking at us now. It's just you haven't crossed that river of death where that judgment now will be final. So you have a chance that if you have not been thriving, you've just been surviving, you got a chance to change it. You got a chance to do something different. You got a chance to make up in your mind and your heart, I'm going to do something different this year. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be more intentional about my growth and about my development and about my love, about my perseverance and doing those things that the Lord have to do. I'm not just going to go through the motions and show up every week and be here and look good, look like I got some leaves, but I want to make sure I got some fruit underneath them leaves. So when the Lord will come and look at me, he won't just see leaves. He'll actually see some figs on my tree. This congregation, he won't come and we won't see some figs on this congregation. This afternoon, the lesson is yours. As we look into going into this next year, the Lord shall bless us to make it there together, to make us to the other side. We want to make sure that we have our minds on not just hanging and maintaining what we have, but we want to grow. We want to thrive. We want to be moving forward. All the scriptures, all you look at scriptures, it's replete with encouraging us to thrive, encouraging us to grow. It grow. Peter said that new base, Josiah is in second of earth, that you can grow. Everything talk about grow, that we can grow up into a full man, that everything he put in the church is so that we can be made ready for the work of ministry. It's also we can grow, that we can go do something. Amen. That's what scripture wants to do something. And so we want to be able to do that. And so this afternoon, if you need to come and rededicate yourself, and you can do that before you get to the next year. If you need to repent, you haven't been doing what you should be doing, you can come and say, I repent. Lord, forgive me. Help me to grow so that I can thrive, so I can be on that side. So
so I can be fruitful, be found favorable in thy kingdom. I don't want to be that one that's taking up just ground, like he talked about that one tree in Luke. I don't want to be the one. Are you the one just taking up ground, taking up space? I don't know. You have to look at yourself. I don't want to be the one in God's kingdom that he come and save me. You just taking up space. But I want to be one that's growing. I don't want to be the one that he comes to and just said, what's going on here? Like he did in Luke 3. What's going on with this tree? Why ain't anything happening with it? Why ain't it growing? I want to look at us and say, we're growing. Newport News is growing. We're a thriving church. We just don't have to look, but we're good through and through. That only when people look at us from the outside, but they look at us through and through, and that we're good, that we're growing, and we're thriving and that in our personal life. But it starts with us, the families, and individually, we got to be thriving, and then our church will thrive. So this afternoon, the lesson is yours. If you're outside the body of Christ, you can come by hearing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and by repenting of your sins and by confessing of your faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we can baptize you in the watery grave of baptism so you can rise to walk in the newness of life. You can be a child of God from here on, and you can, if the Lord bless you, you can go into the next year as a child of God, and that you can grow in his vineyard. So this afternoon, the lesson is yours. Are you surviving? Are you thriving? The question for the day. As we get ready together and stand and sing, as we come forward at this time, the invitation is yours.
When the Savior